NOM Update News. I'm Eva DeLapp. It's 9:02. Searchers in Northwest Alaska continue to look for two people missing since Wednesday on a snow machine trip. Alaska State Troopers say 32-year-old Clifford Greist and 23-year-old Shalane Adams left Kotzebue bound for Selawik and did not arrive. Troopers say they may have planned to go by way of Norvik. Searchers have been hampered by a snowstorm that dropped about 12 inches of fresh snow. Localized storms kept planes from flying in some areas. The storm is expected to continue until noon today. State emergency workers report major flooding in the Yukon River village of Circle. The Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management says water rose 5 to 8 feet Sunday morning and flooded most buildings in the community of 113. Circle is a historic mining community at the end of the Steese Highway, about 125 miles northeast of Fairbanks. The division says residents and their animals escaped safely and water is receding. Residents are taking refuge at the community school, a store, and a location near the post office. Several homes were pushed off foundations. The division says the village power system and washateria, which includes showers and washing machines, are intact. Flooding occurs when the river ice breaks up but jams downstream of villages, damming the river and backing up water. With shipping traffic already increasing in Arctic waters, the Arctic Council is now recognizing the need for planning and preparation for oil spills. An agreement focusing on marine oil pollution preparedness was signed by 8 Arctic nations last week at the Arctic Council meeting in Sweden. According to the Barents Observer, this is only the second agreement to be signed by the Council. If an oil spill were to occur, circumpolar countries now have guidelines of communication as to who will respond and who will be responsible for cleanup. At the meeting, American Ambassador David Balton stated that the United States hopes this agreement will encourage all nations to prepare individually for the potential of oil spills as vessel traffic volume increases. As federal agencies are beginning to lay off employees and close offices in Alaska, the long-term unemployed are about to see a reduction in their unemployment benefits. KNBA's Joaquin Estes reports, in Alaska, the state provides up to 26 weeks of unemployment benefits. Then people can apply for federal benefits, which are organized into tiers based on how many weeks the person's been jobless. Bill Kramer is chief of the Unemployment Insurance Program for the state of Alaska. He says the federal spending cuts required under the Budget Control Act passed by Congress in 2011 will affect people as they move through the system.
For all new emergency unemployment compensation claims or for people transitioning from one tier of benefits to the next tier of benefits, on or after May 19th, the weekly benefit amount will be reduced by 23.92%.
The budget cuts won't affect the state's 26-week program. They apply to the 37 weeks of federally funded assistance people can apply for after their state benefits run out. Kramer says the state has sent out letters to about 14,000 Alaskans who are expected to be affected.
The average weekly benefit amount is $245 per week, and so under the sequestration cut, that would reduce that weekly benefit amount to about $186 a week.
Kramer says the state operates 23 job centers offering employment services, as well as a labor exchange website where employers post jobs and unemployed people can search for work and post their resumes online. Nome's Kendra Nichols-Tuckuck was the recipient of an Emerging Artist Award at the 2013 Rasmussen Foundation Artist Award reception last week in Anchorage. Tuckuck, who owns Snowflake Multimedia, is a videographer. She is also the Injury Prevention Coordinator for the Norton Sound Health Corporation and plans to create a mini-documentary on a leader in the Bering Straits region. TACAC says the $7,500 award will help in a project to be completed in a year. She says her work so far has consisted of documenting weddings, meetings, and creating life tribute videos.
So all of the work that I've done in the past has always been more commercial, meaning that people have hired me to do videography. So they have always been in control of what the outcome, the final product is. But what this has allowed me to do is they're funding something that is coming from my heart and showing kind of my, I guess, artistic ability versus following an outline of a project that somebody else is funding and supporting.
The mini-documentary that TACAC will be creating in the next year will focus on one leader in the region. She does not yet want to disclose who that person is. But she says that doing different videos for events like the Sitnisock Annual Meeting or Kowarik and Norton Sound Health Corporation's 40th celebrations, she's learned about different leaders in the region.
They advanced us, helped advance our people, and I just don't think that that story is told enough. It's definitely not told in the school systems. It's not shared even within our organization sometimes. And so just through the work that I've been doing with the video, I've just come across all of these amazing stories. And I feel that we need to tell it and tell it more. And I just feel that maybe I can help in that way by helping tell one of the many, many, many stories that we have out there.
Other individual award recipients were Joan Kane, whose roots are from King Island, and Holly Nordlum, who lives in Anchorage and whose family is from Kotzebue. This is the 10th year of the Individual Artist Awards program, and as of today, the program has awarded 303 grants, totaling more than $2.3 million directly to Alaska artists. The purpose of the awards is to allow artists to seek a variety of creative opportunities, including providing them with the time necessary to focus on creative work. TACAC says there is a need for more rural Alaskans to apply for the Rasmussen Artists Award program. Most awards go to urban Alaskans simply because the program does not receive any applications from rural artists. Pavlov Volcano continues to erupt on the Alaska Peninsula. The Alaska Volcano Observatory reports a plume of steam, gas, and ash reached up to 22,000 feet on Sunday and was visible on satellite images drifting southeast over the North Pacific. Trace amounts of ash were reported in Sand Point, a city of nearly 1,000, about 55 miles east of the volcano. The Volcano Observatory says seismic activity remains elevated at the 8,262-foot volcano that began its latest eruption May 13th. The volcano last erupted in 2007 for 29 days. The price of gold in New York has risen $36, trading at $1,397.30 an ounce. Silver has risen 90 cents so far today, trading at $23.26. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 arrived in Nome this morning at 9:07. It's expected to depart to Anchorage at 9:52. Unofficially 32 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock.